racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Hi, and welcome once again to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. I'm Bob Bupka, delighted to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, well, we're rested, refreshed after a week off to recover from our Ryder Cup travel. But before we begin, I think I want to know, how are things at that Normandy Golf Club?
Well, yesterday was a pretty big day for the property. Former USGA president Tom O'Toole Jr., along with some people here in the area, announced a project called Normandy 4, Bob. It is the hope that Normandy will be a signature piece of revitalizing the North County area, and they're going to try and work with the University of Missouri St. Louis, some other high schools. The goal is to raise between $15 and $20 million and totally transform the property built in 1901 to today's standards with incredible condition, and we'll see where it goes. But it was an exciting day yesterday at Normandy. A little cold today.
Yeah, well, I'd be excited if once I know Tom O'Toole, who I think was certainly one of the great presidents of the USGA, and he certainly was a good friend to the Grill Room. If he's involved, I like its chances of accomplishing the mission.
Well, we'll be talking about it as time goes on. Maybe we've got a listener out there that wants to toss in a couple billion.
Well, I thought maybe you were going to surprise us with a little announcement and reach under that big mattress of yours. Anyway, let's get down to some serious business. You know, it's the time of year that the tournaments do go overseas. The web.com players able to get into the fields. The veterans traditionally take some time off or go money chasing in overseas events. But for the Australian, Mark Leishman, his home country season is just getting ready to start, and he's going to be coming into it in pretty fine form, Jay, after winning the CIMB Classic in Malaysia by a whopping 5-shot margin. Mark Leishman, a very talented player.
I had the discussion with my assistant out at Normandy today about the fact that Leishman is one of the, without question, I think, one of the five best players without a major championship that's playing this game now. It's almost surprising that he doesn't win a little bit more. I mean, he just put on a clinic in Kuala Lumpur. Just fantastic stuff. He really took control of the golf tournament and never looked back.
Yeah, he's got a couple of aspects to his game that really impressed me. Very accurate off the tee. And when he gets that putter going, he's awfully tough to beat. And on top of that, he's an extremely nice guy. People like him. People in the business like him because he certainly is a wonderful ambassador for this sport of golf.
Well, and the other thing that it does is you talked about getting ready to go to his homeland with those triple events that they've got, that it also sets him apart on the President's Cup. That's going to be, we talked about the fact that that you've got the situation where, the U.S. has been scrutinized for what it's done internationally. So, another boost for an international team with Leishman.
Yeah, good point you bring up there, Jay. He'll be tough, especially down in his home country. Just on a personal note, if I, had the, ability to take Jay Randolph Jr. With the passion that I know that you have for this sport to any place on this globe, I would take you to Melbourne, Australia, and I would introduce you to 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 or 9 golf courses in a very small area that are all world-class facilities, you would be amazed. I mean, the quality of golf in and around Melbourne, Australia, is something to behold.
Well, and I know you've told me that the only place better than that area is New Zealand, a chip shot away. But, you know, you look at the players that Australia has produced, and now Leishman is kind of taken over. Where's Adam Scott?
Yeah, well, Adam Scott, you know, may be in the twilight, may come back hungry. He's somebody that we're going to be keeping an eye on in 2019. I think it's going to be a defining year for Adam Scott. If, you know, he's got enough money. He's the first Australian, only Australian ever to win the Masters. He really doesn't have to do anything in golf anymore. He's firmly established as a superstar, certainly down in Australia, even here in this country. But I got a feeling with that talent that I think he's going to redirect his focus coming into 2019. I'd look for a big season out of Adam Scott. Look at some of those names, though, the young guys, Grillo and Hadley. No, that Chasen Hadley, boy, he continues to amaze. You just, every time I look up, he's somewhere on top of that leaderboard.
You look at him tying for third with Grillo, another guy that we continue to see playing well. And we mentioned earlier, guys starting to get a chance, the Bronson Burgoon with a huge tournament for him.
I'll tell you what, we had an opportunity to hear what Mark Leishman had to say about what it took to secure that 5-shot victory.
I've never been one to kind of take things for granted, and having a 2 or 3 or 4 shot lead on this golf course isn't actually that much. You know, a bad tee shot here or there, a 3-part or whatever it might be, can swing things around, and someone else could birdie the last 4 holes coming in. So I just knew that I had to make a couple of birdies coming in, probably with 5 holes to go. On 14 tee after bogeying 13, just said to myself, you know, you need to try and get to 25 under, and was able to get to 26. So I had a score in mind at the start of the day, and I had to reset that after 10 holes. You know, it got off to a pretty good start. So I did that and didn't quite reach it, but was definitely good enough.
You know, Jay, in today's game, absolutely imperative that you keep your foot on that gas pedal. I mean, you know, guys are getting so good and able to roll off 5, 6, 7 birdies in a row, so no lead really is secure. I like his philosophy.
Well, you have to, and because now with this wraparound season, Bob, you know, if you can get off to a good start in one of these first series of events, what are there, like 5 or 6 that round out the end of the season, the end of the year, it's big. I mean, you look at what Kevin Tway did, you know, in that playoff the week before at Safeway. I mean, he's a guy that was just working his way up on the tour, and all of a sudden he got the opportunity, and they patted him on the back and said, here's your trophy, here's your 2-year exemption, here's your ticket to the Masters, here's your ticket to the PGA. I mean, while it's not, you know, the prime focus right now necessarily in the world of golf, these are big events for these guys.
Yeah, they really are. Just look at that CIMB Classic that certainly launched Justin Thomas's winning ways, and now Mark Leishman following in his footstep. You know, and you mentioned Tway, you know, with that win at Safeway, right away he's on top of the FedEx Cup points. As you mentioned very accurately, exempt into all the majors, that 2-year exemption on tour for somebody that has not enjoyed that previously, that's worth more than any big fat check that you get.
Absolutely. That's security. And for him, it's even more dramatic because he wins in October. So, you know, he was already exempt through this season. And that gives him, it really is like 3 years, really, because of having that cushion. So joining his dad, obviously a major championship winner, Brillo, Bob Tway. I'm sure he was in tears in Edmond, Oklahoma. Good stuff. And it continues, Bob, with the CJ at Nine Bridges, where we talked about Justin Thomas is the defending champion.
Yeah, and after that, a little journey down to Mississippi, actually trying to rest up after the Ryder Cup. I went to one of my favorite places, the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, Mississippi, noted for its exciting nightlife. And I was there Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and never made it till 8 o'clock at night, just simply exhausted. My reign as a big-time gambler, well, that has come to a screeching halt due to stamina factors. Anyway, let's get back to
it. And that's okay.
Yeah, because a lot of people were making big bets. I'd never make it, never be smart enough to stop, but I have. Lots of big events coming up, you know, after Mississippi, out to Las Vegas for the Shriner Hospitals for Children Open, and then down to Mexico. After that, at Davis Loves Tournament, the RSM Classic at Sea Island. Then I guess, what is it, the ISPS Handa Melbourne World Cup of Golf at Metropolitan Golf Club. That's one of the courses that I'd love to take you to if we could get you down there, because it is an absolutely incredible track, and they're going to be playing that World Cup there. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and then, you know, it won't be long before you and Janice are out basking in the sun at the Century Tournament of Champions, which Mark Leishman punched his ticket to, an exciting way back to get to Maui. So that's good news. I mean, it's still going, and it's going to be interesting to see the players that play well in this final part of 2018.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to hear Mark Leishman in his winning interview. He actually referred to the fact that, wow, I'm going to get to go back to Maui. And why not? There might be 29, 30 guys there. I think last place pays out somewhere in the vicinity of $80,000, $85,000, $90,000. You stay at the Ritz-Carlton. You drive a fancy automobile, and you get to play four rounds of golf. You know, the big question that I want to know, because he's had success there before, I want to run this up the flagpole of Mr. J. Randolph Jr. Will Tiger show up at Maui?
I'd love to see him play there again. I don't know. I hope he will. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. I'm a little confused with the whole match thing that he and Phil are doing. I hope he goes there. I mean, you know, he did it for a couple of years and then stopped and waited for, the California swing to really get underway to play. But, you know, this is a different Tiger.
Yeah, it really is. If I could get next to him, well, he knows how great Maui is. I mean, might be a wonderful opportunity to bring his two children, Sam and Charlie, let them enjoy some of the wonderful things that await anybody that goes to Maui, and certainly not working as a travel agency for the state of Hawaii. But if you are planning a vacation and you like tropical weather and you like beautiful beaches, I don't know if there's anything better in this world than Maui, or at least I have never seen anything better. All right, let's move on now to one announcement that was made while we were not on the air. Brooks Koepka, voted Player of the Year. Certainly no surprise winning two majors.
No, you win two majors, you're the Player of the Year. But we get back into this whole thing about the dilemma that has been created with the FedEx Cup. You know, Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup. But I think, you know, Justin Rose would say, oh, here's my FedEx Cup, I'll take those two major championships. So I think also the story, Bob, with the injury situation and how great a tournament the PGA was in itself. He's the player of the year.
Yeah, and a stat that just jumps off the paper to me, Jay, 62.5% of his drives over 300 yards. The tour average is 286. You start giving up 14, 15, 20 yards to your fellow competitors, boy.
That's big.
Yeah, you know that better than anybody. Well, 20 yards, conservatively, that's two clubs different. I'm going to hit an 8-iron, you're going to hit a 6-iron, you're going to try and beat me? I don't think so.
Well, Bob, we were talking earlier about Mark Leishman maybe being one of the top five players yet to win a major. And I'm not going to put, and it's no slight of these guys, Matt Kuchar and Lee Westwood in this category. I think they're maybe past that. I'd love to see one of them win one. I don't think Westy has any chance. Kuchar may still have a chance. But, Bob, my top five players that have yet to win a major that are playing currently on the PGA Tour, I put Leishman in there, absolutely. I think you got to consider Paul Casey. With the talent that he has, the fact he hasn't won one. I'm going to go with a young guy, and it's just because of what he's shown so far, and that's sheer talent, in Jon Rahm. I think you have to consider Jon Rahm. I think a while ago I might have considered Hideki Matsuyama, but, this was a weird year for Hideki. I'll throw a name at you. The guy that tied for fourth at the British Open that we don't see maybe as much as the Euros do, and that's the guy from Spain, Rafa Cabrera Bello. So those are my top five that have yet to win one.
Well, pretty impressive list. We agree a little bit. I certainly go with Paul Casey, watching him in France perform at the Ryder Cup. I saw enthusiasm. I saw a desire to even go higher in the world of golf. And he has all the tools necessary to win a major championship. I think he's going to get the job done. I'm not jumping off the Kuchar bandwagon quite yet. This may be the last year that I put Matt in there, give him one more run at it. Probably the name, a couple of names that maybe are going to surprise you, where I differ from your picks. Gary Woodland seems to be just gaining a little traction. Another guy, a former FedEx Cup winner, Brant Snedeker. He putts well enough, certainly, to get the job done. And now, just to keep it by going with a youngster, well, I'm going to have to go with Tommy Fleetwood. I saw Tommy Fleetwood at Shinnecock. I saw what he did in the final round there at the U.S. Open. I saw him team up with Molinari at the Ryder Cup. I don't see any gaping holes in the game of Tommy Fleetwood. That certainly would be my top five. And Leishman, I didn't mention his name, but you mentioned it. I think he has enough equipment in his arsenal to get the job done.
30 seconds.
And the guy that neither one of us mentioned, just because we probably already think of him that way, as a major champion. Obviously, he was one of the players. Ricky Fowler, Bob. Ricky Fowler still yet to win a major.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible stuff. The big question is, which is going to happen first? Will Ricky Fowler win his first major, or will Tiger Woods win number 15?
You're listening to The Groove Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550, in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Groove Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Now let's take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Pete Charleston, president of Golf Logics, a very popular golf app, and Pete has something new to tell our listeners about. You're going to want to hear this if you want to improve your putting.
You're listening to The Grill Room. You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Joining us now in the Grill Room, Pete Charleston. He's president of Golf Logix, and he has an app that really can help your golf game. I'm like stunned, Pete, and I'm so happy because, you know, your app helps improve performance on the golf course, and right now you're adding to that app with something that's called Putt Breaks. Could you explain to our listeners first what you had previously and what you're adding?
Well, first of all, we started this company way back in 1999, and we were the first golf group to do a handheld GPS device. We partnered with Garmin, and you know, we marketed directly to the golf courses. And as the USGA changed their stance in 2006 and allowed electronic measuring devices, we said, let's go sell at retail. So we went at it really hard, and we were really successful, got in all the major retail outlets. And right at our peak in 2008, the first smartphone came out with GPS on it. And we're like, man, why would someone pay $300 for a device when they could, you know, have their own device, their phone, and just have an app on it? And so we were the first company to do an app for smartphone. So we've been helping people out on the golf course. We give GPS distances to the front, middle, back of the green, to carry distances to hazards. We give a 3D image of every hole that you play, so you know you can see all the dog legs and what to aim for, what to try to avoid, and you know we keep track of your scores and stats. And you know we've done all that, and we've been best in breed. We've had over 4 million downloads, and we're always striving to try to come up with the newest, latest, greatest thing. And that latest, greatest thing, which we've been working on for 2 years, is called Putt Breaks. And we figured out how to mimic what the PGA Tour pros are using on tour with these green books. It's like having a caddy kind of whispering in your ear, hey, it's a little bit downhill and it's going to the right. So it's a very, very cool technology.
You know, it's pretty amazing the timing of this, because you know those green books have been in the news. The governing bodies are talking about them, even possibly banning them. But that's for professional golf. What you have here is going to help the amateur golfer, and like you say, very few players that take caddies. So what you have really, as you accurately said, can replace a caddy.
Yeah, or help a caddy. I mean, it's like the number one thing is the amount of rounds that are played with caddies in this country are ridiculously low. People just don't have that advantage. And the reality is most people can't read greens. And I'm one of those people. I didn't start playing golf till I was 30. So I don't immediately walk up and look at this putt and go, oh, yeah, I see that. The grass is growing this way, or you know, I can see the hill going. I mean, it's just tough for me. Although I'm a good putter, I don't see that read. And that was part of our motivation here. And just to help out that average amateur golfer, to give them that confidence. And when you walk up to a putt, and we all have it, when you know for certain that you have the read, how much better do you putt? That confidence level you have when you take that stroke of the ball, right? I mean, both of you guys, you know, it feels so good when you know you have the read. You may not always make it, but you know that at least you're it's going left to right instead of right to left.
We're talking with Pete Charleston, president of Golf Logics. The main question I have, I'm sure I know the answer, but I want our listeners to hear it coming from you. The initial concern would be it's going to take longer for players to complete playing a hole using your putt breaks. But after thinking about it, it's probably going to take less time, and that ultimately is going to speed up rounds, which is marvelous.
Exactly. And you know, the first, we're on version 3 already. We came to market kind of a soft launch kind of September, October of last year. And then we launched another version in the spring, and then we launched another version this summer. So we're constantly trying to make it easier and faster to use. With any technology or with anything in life, you know, it does take a little time to learn it. More importantly, this is a change in your routine, right? I mean, now you've got to bring a phone to the green, which you may not be used to. But once you've played a round or two, I'm going to make the argument that you're going to play faster in two ways. One, and we all play with those people that have to look at the putt from the back, the side, the other side, the backside, you know, and then they're walking circles and they're talking and, you know, you're going like, God, man, just putt the ball. And this eliminates all of that. I mean, you literally walk up behind your ball. You've got, you're looking at the green and you literally draw a line from, you're staring at the green in the direction that you're looking at the pin. And you put your finger on the screen and you draw a line towards the pin. And then it zooms in and shows you the arrows of what that putt does, uphill or downhill and side to side. So you will never misread a putt again. And so at the very least, what we're trying to eliminate is that dreaded three putt. You know, if you know that the putt is definitely on the left instead of on the right, at least you're not misguessing and then hitting it that 5 feet body on the wrong side of the hole, and then you miss and you three putt. And you're like, gosh, I did it again. So I think over time, this will definitely help speed up play and generate more fun with the golfers out there.
Well, it certainly has me excited. I can really see the benefits of this. Pete, tell our listeners how they can take advantage of what you're offering.
Well, we like to say we put our money where our mouth is, and we provide a free 30-day trial to all of our features. No strings attached. You don't have to sign up beforehand and then cancel a membership. Literally, you go to the Apple App Store and search for Golf Logics with an X, or you can search for Putt Breaks, or you can go to the Android Play Store. Either way, you know, you go in, you download the app, you sign up and register for free, and then the first time you go to a course that has Putt Breaks available, it'll ask you if you want to start your 30-day free trial. And at the end of that 30-day free trial, if you loved it, great. You can sign up for one of our membership plans. And if you don't love it, you still get to keep our app, and you're going to get distance to the center of the green. You're going to get 3D imagery of the hole, and you're going to still get to keep track of your scores and stats all for free for life. So it's kind of a no-lose proposition. It's so easy. You just put it in your hand, and you walk on the green, and you get your read. You still got to putt the ball. You know, we're not helping you make that putt, but we're giving you that caddy experience.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hey, thanks to Pete Charleston, president of GolfLogics.com, and you've got that free 30-day trial of putt breaks. Go to GolfLogics.com if you want to learn more about the greens you're putting on or putt better. GolfLogics.com. Now, when we come back, the mouth that roars, the one and only, the founder and publisher of MorningRead.com, Alex Maselli, next on the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Joining us in the Grill Room, a frequent visitor, a longtime participant in the Grill Room. His name is Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, the fastest growing source for golf information on the internet. All you have to do is go to morningread.com. You'll be up to date. Alex, thanks for joining us. Rather timely because news just reached the Grill Room about the retirement of Johnny Miller. First, I want your thoughts on Johnny's career and now that he's hanging him up, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, one thing is he changed the landscape in announcers and how announcers approached golf. He never backed down. He always had an opinion. You may not have always agreed with his opinion, but he had an opinion. And that was so contrary pretty much to anybody else. I mean, prior to that, the only time I remember anybody saying anything negative was when actually Jack Nicklaus was in the booth when John Daly was in the playoff at the old course at St. Andrews for the Open Championship and decided to hit driver at 17. And Jack was questioning the move and he hit it left into the rough. But anyways, Daly eventually won. And that was almost like unheard of that a player in the booth would question something that a player on the ground would be doing. So it wasn't often that you would see that, but Johnny Miller's basically spent a career doing that. And I think that's added or lent to what other people do now in television. It actually probably forced Lanny Watkins out of the booth at CBS because he was unwilling to be critical of the players on the ground because he felt like that was not what he should be doing. And so I think Johnny Miller did a great job. And I think it really made a difference for NBC, who was, let's be honest, Bob, I mean, you can go back to the old days, but I wouldn't say NBC was necessarily the behemoth in covering golf. I think it was really CBS. And I think with Johnny Miller, they made a separation that they hadn't made before.
And I think a lot had to do with the fact that the listeners got very comfortable. Gary Koch, Roger Maltby, Dan Hicks. I mean, when you turned on your TV Saturday or Sunday, you were hearing familiar voices that you really had gotten to trust over the years. So it made their appeal even greater.
Right. I think that, you know, one of the things that if you were in a team sport, one of the things that you look at is that player makes the other players better. And I think in Johnny's case, he made, as you said, the other players better. The Roger Maltbys, the Gary Kochs. All the people that came on board. I mean, I was obviously, I have a relationship going all the way back when with golf.com where, you know, we had a relationship with NBC Sports and I'd be in those meetings with people like Johnny and Roger and actually even Dave Marr. And, you know, it was fascinating on how they approached things and how they looked at things. And Tommy Roy, who's the executive producer, has been there, or the producer now, I should say, has been there forever. And so he's been there with Johnny Miller through most of it. And I just think that they were a better product because of Johnny Miller. And if it's all is true, which, you know, I've seen many different reports that Paul Azinger is going to take over for Johnny Miller, which I find a little hard to believe because I can't believe Paul wants to be on the road that much. But if he is, he's going to be a great addition to a good team. But as Johnny Miller leaves, you're going to start seeing that team split up. You're going to see Roger Maltby not get it and do another contract. I'm almost positive of that. You're going to see Gary Koch on his last contract. So you're going to start seeing these guys, Peter Jacobson, you're going to start seeing these guys move away. And so it's going to be a new team within the next 5 years, I would think.
Paul Azinger is the obvious front runner from all the reports that we have heard. Although it was just a couple of months ago that the idea that David Duval was being groomed to take over for Johnny Miller. Any inside scoop on what happened with that or were those rumors premature?
Well, I don't know if the rumors are premature. They're rumors. And, I mean, everybody, you know, you're not thinking, first of all, that Fox is going to let Paul Azinger do the events at Fox and also NBC. But we're in a different world now, so and the media space. So that's certainly a possibility. That actually, you know, no one's talking about this. But somehow, some way, between the Comcast deal and the Fox deal and buying Sky Sports and buying Fox out of Sky Sports, who knows or doesn't know that that is part of the agreement, that Paul Azinger actually can be involved with the NBC coverage. We don't know that. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was part of the agreement, because it's been in the past, NBC has done things, Dick Ebersol has done things where they have done different things as part of a larger agreement just to get some things taken care of. So that wouldn't surprise me. But I think David Duvall will work his way into the NBC coverage at some point. It just makes sense that he is part of that NBC coverage. He's too valuable not to be, and you don't need him on Golf Channel. There's many different people that can be on Golf Channel. There's only certain people that could actually be on network television, and I think Duvall fits that bill.
It wasn't too long ago when the announcement of Pete Bevacqua became a reality and he was going to NBC that it looked like that move was going to facilitate NBC getting the PGA Championship, but apparently that's not going to be the case. Turner's leaving. ESPN is going to be in partners with CBS to provide PGA Championship coverage. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. One of the things that I'm sure had been going on was the CBS discussions with the PGA of America. And I think the reason why it wasn't disclosed or announced at the PGA Championship at Belle Reve, which it should have been, was because of A, Bevacqua leaving, and I think B, because they probably still had some I's to dot and T's to cross. I had some conversations with CBS last week when this was announced, and I think it was just more that than anything else. And I think in regards to CBS, it puts them in a unique position where they're going to have the first two majors now, well, for as long as they can keep the Masters, which I think is for a long time. So now all of a sudden they can promote the PGA Championship as part of the Masters, which is a huge positive for the PGA Championship. They're going to have the two majors. They can do different things with them. So I think that the first part of the year, with the exception of the Florida swing, is all going to be CBS. And I think that's a huge positive for them. And it's going to allow them to do a lot of different things with golf. I think CBS is in a perfect position. It's where they want to be. I think you'll find NBC is too. And the whole idea, what we talked about back in the past of ABC or ESPN, not really, but more recently Fox being part of the PGA Tour deal, is never going to happen.
One last thing, and we're chatting with Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. It almost seemed like, you know, the train was coming down the tracks rapidly for the PGA Tour to have their own network, provide their own coverage. But apparently, that doesn't seem to be in existence at all.
I don't think that's true, actually, Bob. I think it is a possibility. In fact, I think there will be something in the negotiations where it's a probability, where they will be doing more on television, online, than they are currently. But they're still always going to rely on network television. It's pretty hard, as the PGA of America has found, it is pretty hard to give up those huge rights fees. And why would you do that if you don't have to, yet still be able to do what you want to do? And I think if you look at the NFL and the NFL Network, where now on Thursday night, you either have Fox or CBS or NBC producing and running the programming and everything else, but you can still get it on the NFL Network. They sell the rights to Amazon in this particular case for Thursday night. Why, if you're the PGA Tour, why aren't you figuring out a way to do exactly that? And I think that's what they're trying to do.
I think we'll see that in the future. I hope to see more of Alex Maselli in the future, founder, publisher, Morning Read. Your place to go, morningread.com. Thanks, Alex.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.